I'm going to be reading, well, I could read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to start reading in verse 28. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now, I did all that for context sake, and I'm interested in some of the context before it, but I'm really just going to focus on one phrase that it starts off with. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, I just want you to know this is what God says about them. God says, the problem was they didn't like me. Yeah. The problem wasn't that there wasn't enough evidence. The problem wasn't that there was an issue with the logic. The problem wasn't something I had done to them. The problem was they didn't like him. That was the problem. I wonder if that's your problem. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you just don't like him. There's some things you just don't like. Maybe you know why you don't like them. I think it's interesting. I don't like wicker furniture. I'm sorry, you're not going to change my mind. I don't care if it's painted or not painted. I don't care if it's varnished. One of my daughters sent me a video on how to weave your own wicker furniture. Now, why would they do that? I do not like wicker furniture. I'm sorry. I don't want wicker hanging on my walls. Now, I don't know exactly why I don't like wicker furniture. I don't know that I can explain it to you. I just know that if I'm tired and I need to sit, and the only thing that is there is a wicker chair, I'll use it. It's the only thing that's there. You understand that what you like or what you don't like is just not that vital. It's not that important. But there are people that make decisions about their own eternity based on what they like or what they don't like. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that's a mistake. All right? Now, first of all, these people knew God. It says they didn't like him, but they knew him. I mean, they knew about him. In fact, I will tell you that this ideology of evolution where they came up, I mean, back in the 19th century, they were just applying evolution to everything, and they came up with the idea that religion evolved and that religion is an evolutionary outgrowth because we needed, I don't know what, they've got their reasons. But the idea was that people used to think, you know, that there were gods in the rocks and in the trees, and then they finally graduated to realizing that there were gods up in the heavens, and then they finally realized that there weren't a lot of gods, there was just one, and that was the pinnacle of evolution, and now evolution has reached to where we don't even need any god. That's the idea. But I just want you to know that that is false and can be proven false and has been proven false. Religion did not start off animistic, believing there were spirits in rocks. Religion did not start off with multiple gods. All the primitive religions of the world believed in one creator God. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what. There's a book that goes to a lot of trouble to prove that, and there are other sources that you can look up, but I will just suggest to you that you read Don Richardson's Eternity in Their Hearts, because he goes to a lot of trouble to show that these original myths, these original religion start-off myths, they all started off with the belief in monotheism, a singular creative God. And even our early Native American early myths, if you go back and find the earliest form of the myths, it was a singular God. And it's the same way. They can find it all the way through all the different cultures of the world. They all knew that there was one God. And listen, when it all started off, when God created the human race, well, it was obvious. In fact, the existence of a creator God is still obvious.
Amen.
It's still obvious. It's the obvious conclusion. They criticize us because they say, well, you guys have a God of the gaps. Which means when you don't understand something, you just attribute it to God so that you don't have to investigate it anymore. And no, that's not true. We do not have a God of the gaps. And the God of the gaps doesn't explain anything. There's no explanation there. Obviously, that's not what we're interested in. But what we have is a God of the conclusions. Meaning, we aren't inventing God to explain what we don't know. We're understanding that there's a God because of what we do know.
Amen.
You can just look at the stuff that we know and say, there's obviously a God.
Amen.
This is obvious. Now, you don't always have to follow the obvious. Sometimes the obvious is deceitful. It's deceptive. Sometimes the obvious will fool you. You think it's that way, but it's not really that way. And so you ought to be skeptical. You ought to try to confirm your assumptions and your suppositions and what have you. But listen, if you're going to go against what's obvious, you need some actual evidence. You need to have some way of realizing the obvious is wrong. But there is no evidence against the obvious here. I mean, listen, I don't know how to explain it to you. It's just logically absurd to say that something came from nothing.
Right.
That's logically absurd. Now, if you think something came from nothing, well, okay, where's your evidence? Where do you come up with this? There is no evidence. You can't find any instance anywhere in all of history and in any experiments that they've been doing. You can't find anything where you get something from nothing.
Right.
Which means God is obvious. Amen. They knew God. Of course they knew God. Back in those days, there was no debate. They weren't debating whether there's a God. They might have been debating what kind of God he is. They might have been debating whether, you know, what you have to do in order to please this God. There's all kinds of debates about it. You might have doubts about the Bible. You might think it's not really trustworthy. Okay, I get it. But where in the world do you come up with the idea that there is no such thing as a God? That's so foolish. It's so absurd. And when you start off with that absurdity, that there is no God, you have to just multiply absurdities over and over and over again. And they invent a singularity with everything that was in the universe was down into a microscopic point. That's a singularity. How can that be? Well, there's no explanation. Where's the God of the gaps there? Well, I'm telling you, the obvious conclusion is there's a God. And the singularity, they say, well, it could not have happened this way, so we have to invent inflation. That's where matter flies faster than the speed of light. Well, I thought you said that was impossible. Well, it is, but it had to have happened. Why? Because you're absurd. Because you've absurdly decided God didn't do this. It must have just happened. And the only way for it to happen was for matter to fly faster than the speed of light. Silly. Absurd. These people knew God. They knew God. This was not... I mean, listen. Recognizing God is not a difficult thing. It's really a baby step of faith. It's where you say, all right, there has to be a God because, well, here I am. Here we are. Look around. I had an atheist one time says, well, what's your evidence that there's a God? I said, well, look at you. You got a mirror. Just look at yourself. There's obviously something out there that made you. Obviously, you didn't come from nothing.
Right.
And I don't care how far you go back. I mean, you can invent multiverses or whatever. It had to come from a God. That's just logic. This is science 101. Now the point here is that these people had a motive. They didn't like God. But people who don't even want to admit that there is a God, they also have a motive. And maybe the motive is not science. Maybe it's not their superior intelligence. Maybe that's not their motive. Now, I can't say because I can't see inside their heart. Once in a while, you can find evidence that they have other motives. Like this, I don't know if you guys know about Robert Ingersoll. Robert Ingersoll was the famous atheist back in the 1800s. He wrote a book called Some Mistakes of Moses. He did not like God. He did not, he despised the idea of God, religion, what have you. He mocked anyone who believed in God. And he was one of the most famous people of the 19th century. One of the most famous. I don't know if I've told you, he was so famous back in the 19th century, they would name towns after him. And here in Texas, we had a place called Ingersoll, Texas. Well, I'm going to tell you, it was called Ingersoll, Texas. But some evangelist went through that town, late 1800s, 1880s, 1890s, something like that, and preached, and the whole town became converted. And they changed the name of the town. Now it's called Redwater, I believe it's called. Redwater, Texas. Used to be called Ingersoll. Why? Well, because of Ingersoll. Ingersoll was a famous guy, and he mocked Christianity, and he mocked the Bible, and he came up with every kind of rationalization to prove that the God of the Bible could not be possible, and that Christians are hypocrites for believing in him. But you see, we know something about Robert Ingersoll. We know about his daddy. We know his dad was a Presbyterian minister, and we know his dad was accused because he was such a preacher, hard preacher, that people didn't like him. They tried to get rid of him and what have you, and they accused him, and they had court trials, and his kids, Robert Ingersoll and his older brother, had to go through all of that, and they saw all the godlessness in the denomination and all the politics and all the fights. And by the time their father was acquitted but lost his ministry and was set aside and his father was rejected, these two boys could not stand Christianity. You see, he didn't just start thinking things over and says, you know, there's just no evidence for God. I'm just assuming that there's not one, and I don't see enough evidence, and so, all in the innocence of my purity and my superior intelligence, I've decided there is no God, and you Christians are all stupid. That's not what happened. You realize what happened was there was a motivation. Somebody got upset at Christians and took it out on God. Now, I want you to know that God did not do that to this man. God did not do that to those boys. It wasn't God. It wasn't God's fault. If you get mad at Christians, don't reject God because of that. We all know that Christians are horrible people. You're sitting next to some horrible people right now. Christians are sinners. That's why people go to church, because they're sinners. You don't go to church because we're holy. If you're holy, you don't need to go to church. You just walk around and lighten the world by your presence. We go to church because we're sinners. Of course, Christians are going to do you wrong. Of course, there's all kinds of evil in religion. Religion has a lot of horrible things. Maybe you despise religion. Maybe you despise all the nonsense. Maybe you despise all the charlatans. Maybe you think all that nonsense about Fatima and Lourdes and the Virgin of Guadalupe, you think all that's nonsense. And it is. It's nonsense. I find objectionable things all through religion, all over the place. I can't stand Benny Hinn. The guy's a charlatan. He couldn't cure a headache with an aspirin. He's lying. It's a lie. It's not true. I can't stand it. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They're a bunch of liars. And they're a bunch of deceitful people. They're trying to take advantage of people. I can't stand them. But I know there's a God. Amen. And those are not good reasons to deny God in your own life. God knows your motivations. Now, I talked to, you know, some other atheist, and I don't know his motivation. And I'm not going to research his past to find out what his real motivation is. I would just warn him, and if you're in the room and you're of that nature, you are sort of atheistic and you think you've got pure motivations, I would just warn you, God knows your motivations. And if your motivation is you just don't like him, he's going to know that. Maybe you just don't like him. But that's what God said. They don't like me. They just don't like me. Well, I'm going to give you 4 points. They knew God. God is eminently likable.
Yeah.
Number 3, people don't like him. They got reasons why people don't like him. And number 4, what you like is irrelevant.
Right.
All right. That was the first one. Those people knew God, and you ought to know God. He's not hard to recognize. And the God of the Bible is by far the most obvious logical conclusion
Right. Amen. To
everything we know.
Amen.
You want to know where the moon came from? God. You want to know where rain comes from? God. You say, no. We all know. We understand rain now. It's not some mystical thing. No, we know. Because, you know, the vapor comes up from the earth. I mean, from the ocean, and it is in the air, and then it distills, and precipitates, and then it's in the snow, and then the snow melts during the summer, and the rivers run, and it goes back. We all know where rain comes from, right? Don't be foolish. Rain comes from God. God made this. You say, well, he didn't make every raindrop. Well, sure he did. He made the whole circuit. He made the whole shebang.
Amen.
He made everything. He made it all. He made everything. Why in the world would you doubt that? Every single scientific fact ever discovered points to the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Not just some generic God. It points to the God of the Bible. Listen to me. If you disagree with that, you've got a motivation. Because it's not against any scientific fact. The God of the Bible does not go against any scientific fact so far discovered. All right, that was my first point. My second point is that the God of the Bible is eminently likable. Well, who do you like? I mean, everyone in here likes some people. You like some people, right? You just want to be around them. Yeah. Because they're just likable people. What? Why? Because they're smart? Yeah. Because they're funny? Yeah. There's reasons to like people, right? They're pretty. They're beautiful. Yeah. They're nice. They're interesting. God is eminently likable. God is a genius. You ain't never met nobody smarter than God. God is smart. God's thought it all through. God has, I mean, the man is a genius. I say the man, sorry about that. Our God is a genius. You know that he is creative. He's innovative. He's not doing old stuff. Boy, he come up with his own stuff. I don't know if you've ever seen how people draw with their imagination of what aliens might look like. I mean, these people are dull-minded. Either they look like insects, which we can see, by the way. We can look at insects and say, well, there's an insect. We know what insects look like. How come the aliens look like insects? Or they look like people. You know, people with big heads or something. I don't know, but people are not terribly innovative. People are not very creative. But think about God. You know, there used to be 20 phyla. Phyla are the big divisions of animals. The big divisions, phyla. I mean, you had the arthropods and the vertebrates and all that stuff. You got all that stuff, right? And they have been searching for the missing links, the stuff that's in between all these phyla. They've been searching for them forever. They finally found a place. I guess it's up there in the north of the United States, maybe in Canada somewhere. It's called the Burgess Shale. They had some strange fossils there. We're going to find the missing links. They go up there and they study them all out. They classify them. They put them all out. And guess what? They found 20 new phyla. I'm sorry. There were 28. Now they found 20 new phyla. Now we have 48 phyla. They thought they were going to narrow the gap. It got twice as wide. These animals that they found in the Burgess Shale aren't like any other animals anywhere. I mean, they're not like earthworms. They're not like arthropods. They're different. They're completely different. And you know why? Because God is genius. He's creative. He's innovative. He sees things that you can't see. He imagines things you can't imagine. He is eminently likable. Yes. You ought to like God. Yes. My goodness, you ought to like God. He's a perfectionist. He does things well. You know, I do not like sloppy work. If you're going to work on my house, be a perfectionist. Get it right or I'm going to be dissatisfied. I won't tell you. I'm a nice guy. I wouldn't tell you. But I'm dissatisfied. He's thoughtful. He's prepared. He thought it all through, by the way.
Yes, yes.
And he got it all fixed. He got it all. I mean, it all works. I mean, look at this. He prepared it all. I don't know if you realize how much he has prepared in your life. I mean, he's just setting you up. Oh, he's prepared. That God is so far ahead of the game. Amazing. He's honest. He will not lie to you. He told the truth about David. And he loved David. He was a man after his own heart. He told the truth about David. Oh, that had to be embarrassing. He told the truth about Solomon. He told the truth about Manasseh. He told the truth about him. He told the truth about Gibeon. He told the truth about King Saul. He just tells the truth. That's the way God is. He's so honest. Maybe that's why you don't like him. He's meek and lowly. Hello. He condescends to people like you and me. He humbles himself to just imagine being with us. He humbles himself to visit us. This is our God. He's not arrogant and flashy and braggy. He's meek and lowly. The Bible, Jesus himself said he's meek and lowly. He's someone eminently likable. You know he's patient. I know there are people who don't like me because I will blow up in an instant. Some of my kids are afraid of me. Some of my grandkids are afraid of me. Because I can come in the room and just blow up. Who did this? Why is this here? Why am I tripping on this? But not God. He's patient. Why don't you like him? I understand why you don't like me, but why don't you like him? Boy, he's put up with you for years and years and years. He's put up with... It's amazing what he's put up with. You probably criticize him for putting up with stuff. He's selfless. He has no need. He doesn't have to prepare for himself. Everything he does is for you. Think about it. Everything he does is for you. It's for somebody else. It's never for himself. He doesn't need anything. Amen. He doesn't require the food you eat. It doesn't matter to him whether it tastes good or not. He thought it might matter to you. So he put the taste in the banana. Yeah, he did that. Well, I think you ought to like him. He's a likable guy. He's communicative. Did I say that right? Communicative? I don't even know which one's right. He communicates. He's very expressive. He can get his point across. I'm amazed by his book. I am truly amazed. It blows me away. His book is amazing. He's entertaining. He's very entertaining. I mean, God wrote the best stories out there. These are the best stories. He's the one who set up Joseph's life. Have you read Joseph's life? Boy, I read Joseph's life and I just can't put it down. I can't stop halfway through. I gotta keep reading it. I gotta get to the, and I've already read it before. It's interesting. You know, he's funny. You know, God is funny. I get a kick out of things in the Bible. It just amazes me. I always think about that when Zechariah, he's the father of John the Baptist, when he gets the news that he's going to have a child, he's an old guy. See, he gets the news he's going to have a child. He acted in disbelief, so he was made mute, dumb. He couldn't speak. And so he went home and he couldn't speak and he's making signs and they're trying to figure it out. His boy finally gets born and his mother's saying, we're going to name him John because that's what the angel said. And they said, but there's nobody in your family named John, whatever. And they finally said, forget this woman. She's being stubborn. Let's go talk to the father. And they go over to Zechariah and it says they made signs to him. He's not deaf. He can't speak. He hears everything fine. But there they are making signs. And God put that in the book. He's funny. He's funny. It is, you've got to laugh when that donkey starts talking to Balaam. Why are you beating me? And then Balaam answers. Well, because. That's hilarious. That is hilarious. I could go on, but I'm not going to get stuck there. The truth is, God is eminently likable. If you don't like him, there's something wrong with you. If you don't like God, there's something wrong with you. But, number three, people don't like God. Which obviously means there's something wrong with people. People don't like God. What is it about people you don't like? And don't be all haughty and better than me. You know there's people in this room you don't like. I didn't hear one amen, but boy, I know it's true. I know it's true. My wife says people don't like me because I'm insensitive. Because I'm brutally honest. Well, that's God. He's brutally honest. He won't tell the truth. It's amazing about God. People will lie. People will cover things up just because they don't want to hurt you. And you want it done. You do not want people to tell you the truth. Like you ask your husband, does this dress make me look fat? No, honey, it's not the dress. You know it's true. You don't want to ask me. My wife loves me. She doesn't necessarily like me, okay? I'll bet you there's people you don't like because they're know-it-alls. They always know more than you. They always correct you. They're always telling you, no, you're missing something. No, you're wrong. You don't like people like that. You like people that are happy that you inform them of something. You don't want them to say, I already knew that, and I know a lot more than you. Sit still for a while and I'll educate you. Nobody likes those people. They're know-it-alls. And God knows it all. You're not fooling God. God knows it all. You're not surprising God. You don't have an original thought. Some people don't like others who are preachy. They don't like holier than thous. They're preachy. They're always looking down. Yeah, and it goes both ways. It's women and men. Preachy. Looking down on other people. They don't like the way they dress. They don't like the way they comb their hair. Yeah, they don't like the way people are. They don't like the way people act. They don't like the way people talk. People are constantly correcting me. You shouldn't talk like that. You shouldn't say this. You shouldn't go that way. You shouldn't drive this way. You, you know, go away. But God is holier than thou.
Amen.
God is holier than thou. I mean, you're not. Come on, you're not. But God is.
Amen.
Maybe that's why you don't like him. He's holier than you. And he knows it. And he points it out.
Yeah,
yeah, God's a little preachy. He said, go and preach. Go tell him.
Yeah.
Raise your voice like a trumpet. Tell Israel their sin. That's what he says. That's what he said to do. I'll bet you there's people you don't like because they're bossy. My wife has a picture of a little kid, little girl, with a stick. And there's, looks like her brother standing there next to him like this, and she's got the stick pointing at his face saying, I'm not bossy. I have skills. Leadership skills. She's got it framed. But if you're bossy, people aren't going to like you. That's honest. Come on. You don't like people bossing you around. Don't always tell me what to do. It's like people get in the back seat of my car. Hey, no talking in the back seat of my car. Don't tell me how to drive. People are bossy. God's bossy.
Amen.
You know God is bossy?
Yeah.
He's telling you how to live.
Amen.
And he points it out when you don't do right. And if you, God forbid, make a mistake, he'll tell you he told you so.
Yeah.
Amen.
See, I told you so. Didn't I tell you that? Didn't I say something about that? Didn't I mention that? Some people don't like other people because they're negative. Everything they say is negative. Come up to me after I preach and say, I disagree with you on that one point there. Did you agree with anything I said? Oh yeah, lots of it. Well then why'd you bring up the one point you disagree with me on? Just pat me on the back. Say, good job. Except for that one point. But you know, God has some good reason to be negative.
Amen.
He's pretty upset with murder. He's pretty upset with abortion. He's pretty upset with queer theory. He's upset with people perverting his good stuff. He's upset with people lying. I can see why he would be negative. It's almost like that when King Ahab, he calls all the, he said, we're going to go have a war over here. You want to go with us? Jehoshaphat says, yeah, I'll go with you. No problem. Sounds good. What are we going to do? Let's get some prophets in here to tell us. And so they bring in all these prophets. And they all say, no, you're going to prosper. It's going to be wonderful. God's on your side. And Jehoshaphat says, boy, these all look like a bunch of lackeys. I don't know about these folks. Don't you have any real prophets? And Ahab says, well, we got that one, a guy named Micaiah, but I don't like him. Why don't you like him? Because he's always negative. He always says bad things about me. Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Let's call him anyway. So he comes in there and he said something negative. He said, I said, all of you scattered. It's going to go bad for you. And I'm telling you, you're going to die. King Ahab says, see, I told you so. Probably should have listened though. God was doing him a favor. Sometimes negative is good. Sometimes, yeah, listen, negative is not all bad. Sometimes negative is good. The word no is one of the best words you can teach your children. Just teach, that ought to be the first word. Da-da shouldn't be the first word. No, first word. Learn it good, right? Right. Just say no from across the room and watch them stop. That's the way it ought to work. Yeah. You ever heard the phrase, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure? That's negative. That's negative. An ounce of prevention. Don't. Stop. Keep this from happening. That's negative. Negative is not all bad. But that's why you don't like people. Boring. Well, God's not really boring, but he will repeat the same thing over and over and over again. Have you ever noticed some people just say the same thing? Every time you go talk to them, they tell you the same story. Dad's getting that way really bad. Tells us the same story all the time. It's all right, Dad. It's all right. Sometimes you need to be told. Sometimes you need to be told more than once.
Amen.
It doesn't get through the first time. Yeah, I know. You don't like people. You don't like people because they have different interests. There are people where I work, and every time I walk in, they're talking about football. Now, look, I like football. I enjoy watching football. You want to ask me, you know, who do you think's the best team? I'll tell you. I'll tell you who I think's going to win the Super Bowl, and I'm right. You could make some money if you knew. But I'm not going to tell you. But that's not all I want to talk about. So that bores me. So I walk out. Have you ever heard a conversation about who's the GOAT? Who's the GOAT? Who's the greatest basketball player of all time? And they argue over it.
Yeah.
You bunch of morons. The GOAT hasn't been born yet. He's still to come. There's always going to be somebody better. Always. Those aren't the things I'm interested in. Those people bore me. They're interested in different things. And did you know God is interested in different things than you? Wasn't it Jonah that looked up and said, "Whoa, I love that gourd. How come you let that gourd die?" It was giving me shade. And God said, "Well, I had a different interest. I was looking at this huge city out here, 120,000 people that don't know their right from their left. They don't know good from evil. And I'm worried about them. And you're worried about what? The internet got cut off." No, I know. There's probably reasons why you don't like God. But that brings me to my fourth point. And that is, it doesn't really matter whether you like God or not. It is totally irrelevant what you like. Seriously. I don't like rose gardens. My mother-in-law loves roses. She plants roses around her house. I can't stand roses. I don't mind the flower, but a rose garden is ugly. You're not going to change my mind. If you don't see it, I'm sorry. I bless your heart. You can't help yourself. That's got to be the ugliest garden ever. Rose garden. Barely any green on it. Just horrible looking. Yeah. But who cares? God didn't say, "Bill, do you like roses? Because if you don't like them, I won't make them." God didn't ask my opinion. You realize he doesn't really care whether I like roses or not. My wife made white cake with white balled icing for my dad's birthday. Ooh, she did a good job. It was good. But she always in the big mixing bowl, she'll leave a big old chunk of it in there and say, "I didn't use it all," and come and bring it by me. And I didn't get a chance to eat it all. So it was there. I was working and it was there. And then when I finally got all done, I noticed that big bowl there with that extra white boiled icing in there. And I got me a spoon. I'm sitting there eating it. And my son-in-law brought me a gift. I like my son-in-law. He's fast becoming my favorite son-in-law. And he brought his kids in, and I saw Logan. I said, "Hey, Logan, come here. I'll give you a taste of this." "No, I don't want it." "Come on, Logan, you got to try it. This is white boiled icing. This is some good stuff." "No, I don't like it." "Oh, how do you know you don't like it? You haven't tried it. Just take a bite of it." He goes, "Open your mouth." So he opens his mouth, and I gave him a big old chunk of that stuff, and he starts gagging. "I need water." He goes over and grabs my glass of tea and starts drinking it. Something's wrong with that kid. Seriously. You can't help somebody like that. Who knows why somebody doesn't like something, but who cares? You realize that is not a good reason to make your decision in life? What you like, what you don't like? "I don't like it. I don't like it." So what? You know, people always have this stupid little, "I don't like it." Well, maybe if you were hungry enough, you'd like it. We used to get invited. I know Brando doesn't want me to say anything like this, but we used to go in Mexico. They have some really strange things they eat. They really do. I know. Brando didn't really live out in the ranchos where I lived, and he says that, no, Mexicans don't eat that stuff. But trust me, they eat some really strange stuff. They used to invite us over, and they would always want us to eat the very best. So they would make the most exotic thing they could come up with. Oh, bless those Mexicans' hearts. I don't know where they come up with this stuff, but they would make us eat stuff that I don't know. This thing's not eatable. I really realized that you'll hurt their feelings if you don't eat what they just prepared for you specially. So I learned early on, if somebody's invited me to eat that night with them, I don't eat all day. I don't eat anything all day. And come night, I'm hungry. You'd be amazed what you can eat when you're hungry. One time, Brent, Joe, and I went out fasting. We spent 3 days out in the wilderness fasting, and we were under the shade of these big nopal trees, these prickly pear cactus trees, huge things, tall as this building here. I hung my hammock underneath there, and after the third day, I'm looking at those prickly pear cactus thinking, I could eat one of those. Who cares what you like? It is not about you. Amen. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about what God likes. And if God likes that, then that's fine. Go with it. Say, you know, it's about you. What do you want? God, what would you like? Because it's not about you. And your tastes change all the time. You're really strange. You just change all the time. You like something one day, and the next day you don't like it anymore. I'm telling you. There was a restaurant we used to really like. I'm not going to tell you which one. We used to really like it. I had a couple of bad experiences. I won't go back. I just won't go back. It no longer interests me. Isn't that interesting? All right. Number one, it's not about you. God decides. God decides everything, and God has a right to decide. And it really is about what God likes. Amen. It's not about what you like. So you don't like God? Tough. Suck it up. It doesn't matter. God is God. Amen. There's another point. You can't change reality.
Amen.
You can't change reality. You, if you're a man, can't become a woman. Cannot. Amen. Cannot change reality. You can pretend, and other people will humor you. I will not, but other people will humor you. And you might fool yourself into thinking you've changed reality, but you haven't. You cannot change reality. It doesn't matter what you like. It doesn't matter if you don't like being a girl. Doesn't matter.
Amen.
Too bad. Number three, you may just be ignorant. People did not like impressionist paintings when they first started coming out. They didn't like impressionist paintings. But you know, after a while, you look at those paintings and you think, that's pretty amazing. Those are some amazing paintings. Now, not all of them. There's still a bunch of paintings I don't like. But it's possible you're just ignorant. I remember I told somebody, I don't like rap music. I don't think that's music. And they said, well, you may just be ignorant. Maybe. I think you ought to be humble. Maybe you don't like white boiled icing because you're just ignorant. I'm sorry, Logan. I love you to death, Logan. Number four. Surrender is the right call.
Amen.
You just say, God, whatever you want.
Yes.
Whatever you like. I'm going to build my life around what you like. Because what I like doesn't matter. What you like is irrelevant. Doesn't matter. What God likes, wow. That's forever. That's worthwhile.
Amen.
You learn things when you submit to what God likes. You all of a sudden, your mind just gets opened up and you begin to see what God sees.
Amen.
And it opens up your entire world. And you realize what is important and what is not important. And you realize it doesn't matter who you think the goat is.
Right.
It doesn't matter what kind of furniture you like. It doesn't matter your color scheme. None of that matters. It only matters what God likes.
Amen.
And what God likes will be the best thing that could ever happen to you.
Amen.
So what I say is, surrender to God.
Yes.
Surrender to God's likes. Let God make decisions for you. Even if you don't like it, see if it just might grow on you. Because boy, God will grow on you if you give him a chance.
Amen.
We're going to pray and dismiss this part of the meeting. Then we're going to have a baptism. And so let's not forget that. We'll all walk out orderly and wait for the baptism to happen, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, I ask you to bless this congregation because, Lord, you loved us and we want to surrender to you, Lord. We want what you want. Lord, I ask you for Bella. God, we love her and we want her to be blessed. We're so glad that she's made a decision in her life about you, and I want you to bless her all of her life, that you'd guide her every step, that you'd be in every decision, that she would know that you're close to her every day of her life. I ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen.